for about a year way out in the... We lived a ways out from town. We lived so far out from town, we used to hunt between our house and town. You know, we used to like to say the sunset between our house and town. That's how far out we lived. Lived in this little bitty house. And every year, they had a... Farmers? Any farmers? No farmers? Well, I remember a time when you used to go to General Conference, say any farmers, and half the hands in the place would raise. Farmers know what lay-by is. I don't know if they have as much lay-by as they used to, but lay-by time was that time when after the crop would started growing and it got to a certain height, you couldn't cultivate it anymore, because if you did, you'd tear up the root and kill the plant. So you just sort of laid by and waited for it to be ready for harvest. And that's the time down in Missouri where they scheduled revivals. Now, my grandparents, who I lived with, went to a old Pentecostal church out there in central Missouri, and their revivals were extensive, let's put it that way. Anyway, about the only time we ever got Grandpa to go to church with us was during revival, during lay-by time, because he was always too busy the other times. Well, the other thing about our house is Grandpa had coon dogs. He had about 3 coon dogs. And one of them, if you know anything about dogs, that when there's more 2 or 3, especially coon dogs, they kind of have a pecking order. You know, there's one dog that's more important than all the others. Well, Grandpa's important dog was named Trailer. And Trailer was the most important dog on the place, and he knew it. He understood that he was the top dog. So much so that every now and then Trailer got it into his head that he could do things he wasn't supposed to do. Such as the backdrop of this story. Sitting up on the front porch, had a little concrete front porch on this house with a little overhang on it, was a little divanette. Y'all know what a divanette is? It's like a small sofa. Just sitting up there, and Trailer pretty much had the run of the place. He could do whatever he want except come in the house and lay on the divanette. He was not allowed up on the divanette. Well, as luck would have it, we go to revival one night, and after the 3-hour service, which I hope this doesn't turn into, but at the end of that 3-hour service, we came home, and as we drove up through the driveway there, Grandma and Grandpa had 3 driveways. I don't know why, but they had 3. They only had 3 rooms in the house. I don't know why they needed 3 driveways. But you drive up that middle driveway, and they had a fence around the place, around the house. Not a very big fence, but enough to keep the hogs out and things like that. But when you drove up through that middle drive, Grandpa's headlights from his old panel truck would shine right up there on that front porch. We pulled up there the first night, and the headlights shine up there, and wouldn't you know it, Trailer's laying on the divanette. Grandpa was upset with Trailer, to say the least. And he kept this walking stick there on the porch all the time. And I apologize to animal lovers for this story, but it's the way it works. It's called stimulus. And Grandpa grabbed that big stick, and he walked over to Trailer and whacked Trailer with it. And Trailer jumped down off the divanette. Oh, oh, you could hear him all the way down in the timber. So the next night, we came home, and that headlights flash up there on the porch. And there's Trailer laying on the porch right at the end of the divanette. Now, my grandfather was not an educated man, but he was a smart man. And he walked up to the porch and over to the divanette, and he felt around on the divanette till he found that warm spot. And he grabbed that same stick. Woo! Trailer running off. Third night, we come home from revival, and we just knew the Trailer was going to be nowhere to be seen. But we pulled up there into the driveway, and the headlights shining up on the porch, and we looked up on the porch, and we saw the most amazing thing. There's Trailer, front feet up on the divanette, going... You see, the right kind of stimulus will make you do strange and unusual things. That's my story about trailer. Again, 8 years ago almost, I celebrated my 50th birthday at the East Peoria Community Church of God. And they saw fit to honor that day. And I've told Michael this story. They saw fit to honor that day in a couple of ways. One was they had an old picture of me, and they took that picture and had some sleeves printed up for Hershey's candy bars that said, "Happy 50th birthday, Kurt," on them or whatever. And this picture from when I was like 6 years old had this sort of cowboy type shirt on it that looked kind of like a Holstein cow, you know, had black and white. And then not only did they do that, but they decided that the closing hymn that day should be hymn number 50. And of course, that didn't register with me at all. And so I turned to hymn number 50, and there's my picture on page 50 of the hymnal, that same picture. But the most memorable thing of that was that they gave me some presents. And one of the presents they gave me was this big plastic, big-faced clock with those two bells on top, you know, that ring. And I was real excited about that clock, all those things that they did. And I took that clock and I set it there on the platform right by the pulpit. And I'm not one to stand behind the pulpit, so I'm out wandering around and I'm down here like this. And unbeknownst to me, one of our dear members of our congregation, Ms. Vicki Brinkman, she's not here so I can identify her, set that clock for noon. Dead up noon. And it went off. And little Michael Dublin, who was just only 5 or 6 years old at the time, sitting out there, decided that the proper thing to say would be, "Well, it must be time to go home." So if a one-hour service is what we intend every time, let's leave. Because it's now 7 o'clock. First of all, let me just say, we all have had honors and privileges and been graced with some great things in our lives, I'm sure. This is way up there. This is way up there. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kurt Rowden. And I, along with 4 other gentlemen in the church in East Peoria, fill the pulpit there. I carry the license and do the weddings and funerals and things like that. But I think it's kind of a misnomer to call me pastor. You can call me preacher, because I do that sometimes. But I tell you that because, and I tell you what a great honor this is for me, because some of you will remember and know my great-grandfather. You are wondering, maybe, I've never heard the name Rowden in the Church of God before. That's because I'm the only one. But my stepdad's grandfather was a man by the name of Elsie Robbins. And Elsie Robbins was instrumental in the Illinois State Conference. He was the founding member, one of the founding members of the East Peoria Community Church of God. At that time, it was Faith Chapel, a little church down on Spring Bay Road in East Peoria. He built that church. This was his Bible, by the way. It's in the King James, so if anything that comes out of it tonight is not understandable for you, I will give you the scripture references, and you can go home and look them up in your NIV or whatever. Anyway, the only reason I brought it was, one, to carry it around. I'm not really going to use it much. I'm going to have things up here that we will read, but kind of as a security blanket because, you know, shaking hands. And also because it was Granddad's Bible. But as I looked through this Bible, I found something kind of interesting. This banner says, 17th Annual General Conference, 40th Annual Illinois Conference, 35th Annual Illinois Bible School, Oregon, Illinois, August, get this, we're here 2.5 days, August 3rd through the 15th, 1937. 72 years old, almost 72 years old. That's Granddad's Bible. We're here to talk about, hopefully, dum-de-dum-dum-dum. We're here to talk about this green blob on the wall. We're here to talk about this week, this weekend, our spiritual stimulus plan. And I don't have one of these to click it, so I'm just going to have to tell him what to do. And what we're trying to do, maybe some of you, is find out what moves us. Our spiritual stimulus plan. Stimulus has become a big word in this country over the last several months. Well, my side occupation, what I do for a living, is I teach high school. And I know some of you are going, "You what?" I teach high school. And one of the big things that I try to stress with my students is building and expanding their vocabulary. So I'm going to take on the role of English teacher for just a minute, if you don't mind. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a few words for your vocabulary. Stimulus. That's the first one. Stimulus. Something that incites us to action. Something that gets us to do something. Grandpa got trailer off the Devonet by stimulus with a stick. Okay, that was the stimulus. Something that incites to action. Stimulate. Whoop, where'd we go? Stimulate. To arouse to action by encouragement or pressure. By encouragement or pressure. When I worked for years ago for the Postal Service, spent 27 years with that outfit, I had a boss who was not exactly the most kind, sensitive man in the world. In fact, had an employee one time shot at him. Through his office window, ricocheted off three walls, didn't hit him. But anyway, we had a district manager up in Chicago area, and she was all into employee involvement and employee motivation and keeping people stimulated to do their work. So she sent out these buttons, and they had a big SS on it. Now, you know, putting SS on something is not really the smartest move, but it stood for Super South. Yeah, I know. When I saw SS, I thought of my boss immediately. No, but anyway, said Super South, and on the button it said, "Happy people move the mail." Anyway, my boss came out and gave us this box full of buttons, me and the other supervisor, and said, "You need to distribute these. But before you do, I want you to take this grease pencil and I want you to write on there, 'And scared people too.'" To arouse to action by encouragement or pressure. She tried to encourage, he tried to pressure. One way or another, they were going to stimulate us to action. Stimulation, the act of stimulating. Okay, we have to find this stimulus, and we are going to arouse ourselves to action. And when that takes place, that provides stimulation. And we do our thing. The act of stimulating. Stimulant, something that quickens some vital process or activity. So here we have four derivatives of this word. And the point of doing this is that when we stop and think about the idea of stimulus, we generally have one thing that comes to mind right now. And that's that somebody's throwing a bunch of money at something to get it moving again. Now, I suppose we could do that. I'm sure all the pastors in here and all the elders and all the board members and everybody like that would like somebody just to throw a bunch of money in there and let's see what we can do with it. I didn't mean for anybody to get real excited. But the point being that we look for things to provide that stimulation. Okay, let's see the next one here. The basic process goes like this. Number one, that which needs to be stimulated. I have a stubborn old cow here. Now, I'm not calling any of us stubborn old cows. Maybe. But we have that thing that needs to be stimulated. So, we first, the next one, have an effective stimulant. Does everybody know what that is? Anybody ever used one? Anybody ever had one used on you? It's a cattle prod. And what would happen is when that cow wouldn't move the way you wanted it to up into the chute, into the back of the truck, because it knew where you were taking it. You just take that little stick and you put it up against the cow's backside and plunge it a little bit, and it provides us special stimulation, a stimulant to stimulate the cow, the whole process being a stimulus plan. If I can't get that cow up in the truck, I've got a way to do it. However, I think, too, there's an effective alternative. Now, that's a little blurry, but what that is, that's an oat bucket, a bucket of oats. You can get a cow to do a lot of things if it's following a bucket of oats. You can get a horse to do a lot of things if it's following a bucket of oats. If you've got some sort of a stimulant out there that is pleasing to them, not just something to whack them up the backside. Okay, so how do we take that and convert that then to thinking about us as church? Well, let's see what we can figure out. Let's do the next one there, Aaron. Maybe. Did it die on us? See, they never had this problem when Z.B. Duncan was on the pulpit. He had this thing memorized from front to back. Is it going to come up? There we go. Okay, here's one type of stimulus, a fulfilled threat. If you threaten to do something, and when the reaction is not what you want, you follow through on it, generally, you're going to get some sort of a reaction. Let's talk about a fulfilled threat, that which motivates somebody to do something that they did not want to do because the result was not exactly something that they wanted. Go ahead. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and go forth from among my people. I've had it with you. You have done this, your God has done this and this and this and this and this, and now he killed my son and he's killed the firstborn of it. Get out of here." God made good on his threat. Pharaoh was stimulated to do what he had been asked to do, to let the people go. Now, the ironic part of this story, I think, is you would think that should be good enough. But that's all you would need to do is provide a fulfilled threat. We all know the rest of the story. The people packed up and they left town. The only problem was after they'd gone down the road a ways, Pharaoh said, "I'm not so sure that was a smart move. I'm going to go get them." So that fulfilled threat wasn't enough to actually convince him to stop and let those people go. So he pursued once more. And of course, the end of the story is his army was decimated. We know the rest of the story. You see, we can make all kinds of rash statements about what should motivate us as a church to do something, or we can make all kinds of rash, bold statements about what should motivate people. You need to come to Jesus. You know, we can make statements that say, because if you don't, this is bad. These things are going to happen. And yeah, I know those things. But a lot of people are just like Pharaoh, and they will say, psh. And even when something bad does happen, they say, eh, I'm not so sure. Let me go ahead and try it a little bit more. So one kind of stimulus is a fulfilled threat. Another kind, not to brag. This is what I call not to brag. Okay. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Sometimes I think people do things simply because they will get some sort of glory from it. They will get some sort of recognition. I certainly hope that's not why I said yes to tonight. It's because I would get some sort of recognition. I hope it's because I know that God has a plan for all of us. Well, these folks started out with 32,000 men to go against the Midianites. And as you know the rest of the story, eventually they whittle it down to where they go with 300 against the army of the Midianites. And it really didn't even take that many. Because by the time they spooked everybody and ran them off, battle was over. Nobody got hurt. Well, they did eventually. I mean, they pursued them and killed them all. Yeah. But they did that with 300 men. And why? God said, because I don't want you to think that you did anything on your own. I don't want you to think that this was because of who you are or what you had at your disposal. I want you to know and understand as a people that the only reason this succeeded is because I had a hand in it. Because it was me. Okay. Purpose of my plan. What is the purpose of my spiritual stimulus plan? I want God to be more evident in my life. That's one of the things we say. One of the things that I want to have happen is I want God to be more evident in me. I want to be able to walk out amongst the people and have them know that God is with me. I want Him to be more evident. We also want to be more active in my Christian life. I want to be more active in my church. I want to be more active out there testifying and witnessing to people. That's part of my spiritual stimulus plan. That's why I want to be stimulated to do those things. I want my church to grow. How many of us haven't said that? How many of us haven't said that, boy, I wish I could somehow motivate everybody in my church to grow, to bring people to church? I want to be happier. I'm sure that if I was a little more spiritually stimulated, I would be happier. Wouldn't be as many sad things going on for me. I want to be more financially secure. You know, this whole prosperity gospel has kind of gotten a little out of hand. But some people think that the more spiritual I become, the more financially secure I will become. There has never been any assurance of that. Never. I want to be healthier. If I'm more spiritually active, God will make me healthy. There's a lot of people in this room, one of them right there, who has been spiritually active and has suffered the vagaries of all kinds of health issues. But yet some people think, if I'm more close to God, if I'm somehow more spiritually alive, I will be healthier. Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that bringing a certain joy into your life that makes things better. I think that's true. But it's no guarantee that you're going to be healthier. Okay, let's move to the next one. My stimulus plan. What stimulant provides stimulation to stimulate me? We're going to talk about two things. First thing we're going to talk about is what it isn't. Now, I debated about this one. Here's the first one. It isn't the latest in Christian growth plans. Now, I don't have any problem at all with people using certain designs or certain programs or anything like that. You know, that's all fine and dandy. You know, but simply reading Rick Warren's book is not going to stimulate you spiritually. It requires something above and beyond just reading that book. It's not because somebody writes some specific words that you're going to go, look, I'm spiritually alive. Doesn't work that way. So, first thing it isn't, the latest in Christian growth plans. Next thing it isn't, church additives. You know, I think if we had this in our church, people would be more spiritually alive. You know what we need? You don't have a coffee bar here, do you? You know what we need? We need a coffee bar. If we had a coffee bar, people would be more spiritually alive and more people would come to our church. You know what? If we had a bookstore, more people would come. You know what? If we had a gymnasium, more people would come. Yeah, more people would come to play basketball. Why wouldn't they? You provide them the place, they're going to be there to do it. But some of those big, big churches out there have a lot of things, and they can't muster, I don't think, as many spiritually alive people in that whole congregation of 15,000 than what we have right here in this room. Next, a big church. Anybody ever watch T.D. Jakes? Anybody ever see T.D. Jakes? You know who T.D. Jakes is? I like watching him. I do. You know, of course, I don't agree with everything theologically, but I love watching him. I like it when he gets strutting like this, and he's wiping out, you know, and he just, and he, you know, he's a big man, and so he kind of walks a little bit, and he's got them, anyway, I love to watch him. Just do. But he's got, you know, like 20,000 people in that congregation. And those 20,000 people on a service will get really excited. And boy, they'll be, yes, and everything's cool and everything's great and everything's, you know. And then they'll turn around and they'll walk out the door, and Dallas is still as bereft of the Spirit of Christ as they were before they walked in the building. Doesn't matter what happens inside the building. What happens in the building is great for us, but it doesn't do anybody out there any good if we're not giving it to them. What it isn't. A capable preacher or pastor. Sorry, guys. Okay. It's nice to have a capable preacher and pastor. It is. It helps a lot. But if we expect the next preacher or the next pastor or the one we have right now to be the one that provides that spiritual stimulus plan, I'm not so sure that that's going to happen. Why? Well, I'll tell you. The opposite of what it isn't is what it is, our spiritual stimulus plan. Here's what it is. Simply said, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing, but nothing in this book stimulated people as much as the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing. They were moved because God's Spirit moved upon them. That's what it tells us every time. God moved them, or God's Spirit moved them, or the Holy Spirit moved them. Or if you've got the old King James Version, the Holy Ghost moved them. Something other than these things on this side moved them. Paul was a great preacher, and he came teaching people and making great inroads for the faith. But those people were only sustained because the Spirit of God was with them. That scares us, though, sometimes, doesn't it? Scares us to think about, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need God's Holy Spirit in my life. That's what it is. That's the most stimulating device we have. Now, Lest you think I'm going to go someplace strange with this. That's only found in one way, I believe. There's only one way to get that. And that's this. Without him, it does not matter anything else you might try to do to stimulate yourself or to have some sort of plan to stimulate your church or have some sort of plan to stimulate your community without this to start with. Because you see, without this, the other thing, that Holy Spirit of God is not available to you. It's not available. So what do? We make every effort we can to make sure that this is first. This is first. And if we do make that first, then all the other things fall into place. All the other things become just a natural consequence of making him first. The only real stimulant. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We heard Dale stand up here and talk about things that are going on in the Church of God around the world, things that are being impacted. You know, I saw an email yesterday from Joe Martin, still in Africa, you know, and good luck at conference, it said, and over there doing that work. Things going on in Korea that are just like mind-blowing. Somewhere, somebody has at the heart of it this stimulus plan. They have at the heart of it the desire to spread the word of Jesus, to spread the knowledge of Jesus, to help people come to know him as Savior. And when they do that, and the Holy Spirit of God takes a part of that, we're in places like Africa, Korea, Peru, Philippines, you name it, Russia, Mexico. Who knows what's to come next? I believe the true purpose of stimulation, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. You want something to stimulate you? You want something to make you take an active part in your faith? You want something to make you have a reason to make Jesus a part of your life? There it is. What could be better? You see, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow here. They can put stimulus plans in place all they want. We'll talk about it. We'll debate it. We'll say yes or no. We'll go through all those processes. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's wrong. Jesus said, let Caesar do what Caesar wants to do. We concern ourselves first with this, so that when that trumpet blows, when that voice of the archangel sounds, I got no worries. No worries. I think that's the last one, isn't it, Aaron? One of the disappointments for me in being here tonight is that I can't stay. My daughter is getting married a week from Saturday. And there's a whole lot of things to be done before then. And so we're putting together the last minute plans, and so we'll be leaving sometime tonight after this, but I surely do hope that the rest of your conference is beneficial to you, and that you really have, when you leave, that spark of a stimulus plan, and that God finds a way to apply it to your life.